Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
This is our final hour of our special fifth anniversary episode, the Paracast. We've been here every week, 52 weeks a year. So basically, after 5 years, 52 episodes a year, we're still here. Our co-host is Chris O'Brien, who became our permanent co-host just a few weeks back. Guest co-host, Greg Bishop, one of our previous co-hosts, Paul Kimball, back for an encore, and we hope more encores. So we're talking about here the government's deception, disinformation, what it's all about, and of course some of the ideas that presented by James Carrion back in the early, late 40s, early parts of the UFO era. Kenneth Arnold, he goes to Maury Island, that's a hoax. Roswell is some kind of government deception to cover up some other kind of event, possibly a secret weapon. So when it comes to government disinformation, deception, hoaxes, etc., Paul Kimball, where do you stand?
Well, that's going to be the easiest question to answer. Yes, it's happened. It continues to happen, not just related to UFOs. I think the more important question is to ask why. Does it happen because they're trying to cover up their knowledge of the answer, whatever that is, to the UFO phenomenon? And I think most people would say, well, that's aliens, right, from outer space. And to me, the answer to that is no. The engagement of various intelligence agencies, and not just in the United States, but in other countries too, including my own, with the UFO phenomenon, I have no doubt has taken place, but it has been to, for lack of a better term, cover up or distract attention away from very real terrestrial projects that our governments are putting up in the skies above us. You know, it makes it easier if you have stealth bombers or fighters or whatever they are, drone aircraft, things you don't want your enemies, and in many cases even your friends, to know about that you're developing. Well, it's nice to have the UFO phenomenon over there because that is a way of, as Stan Friedman would say in another context, tabloidizing, the story, and making it so that it's not taken terribly seriously. And also so that other intelligence agencies in other countries who are your enemies or perceived enemies, two things. One, maybe they write it off and say, oh, yeah, crazy UFO guys. But two, also, and I think this might have well been the case in the 1940s and 1950s, even the 60s, during the height of the Cold War, trying to convince the Soviet Union in particular that maybe you did have some sort of advanced technology. And at least, you know, put that, I think, it was a very, very minor thread throughout all the intelligence activities that were going on, to the point where minor doesn't even begin to describe it. But you know what? The intelligence agencies, they throw a lot of stuff out there and see what sticks, see what the cumulative effect of it might be. And I think, yeah, sure, the UFO phenomenon has been tied into that. It does not, however, in my view, matter. Greg and I disagree. He finds it interesting, and I respect that. So that's great. And you can go down that and study it, and there are things you can probably learn about it. It's just nothing I'm terribly interested in. The phenomenon interests me, and other aspects related to it interest me. The engagement of the intelligence communities with it doesn't interest me because I know it's gone on, and I know it continues to go on, and so I'm not going to fall for it. And if other people fall for it, that's up to them.
Well, one other point I want to add here, Paul, too, is that possibly they're covering up the fact that they're more confused than we are. I mean, that's a mantra that I keep hearing myself say. There is definitely something going on beyond black budget projects and that sort of thing. It's been going on for millennia. And I think that the government not having control over that or having a complete understanding of it is possibly fueling the psychological operations to make it appear that they either are in control, it is our craft, or belittling it and ridiculing it and using it as an effective psychological warfare tool.
Maybe, but I think that gives the UFO phenomenon far more credence than I think it actually has in mainstream society. So I don't think the government, maybe at one time, and I think in the 1950s this was definitely true, when UFOs were reported seriously, it was big news, and you know, there was a new frontier of science. People were very afraid and unsure of what was happening. Absolutely. I think the government might well have had an interest then in saying, well, we don't want to admit that we don't know what's flying around in our skies. I think the UFO phenomenon is so far under the radar of mainstream society these days, or is not taken terribly seriously by those people who do pay attention to it, that I don't think that reason exists anymore for the government, that they're trying to cover up their own ignorance. Because honestly, I don't think anybody cares. I don't think anybody's really asking them that question. I don't imagine somebody's going to stand up at a Barack Obama press conference and say, do you guys really know what's going on with the UFO thing? I just can't imagine that ever happening.
You know, so I expect that Jeff Peckman, for example, would be admitted to a press conference because he's already running for mayor of, what, Denver?
Well, you know, you can run for all sorts of things in the United States. You can run to be a judge, which is insane. So just because somebody's running for mayor, I don't think he's going to get a sit-down with Barack Obama. I'm just guessing.
Of course not. I'll ask Greg his comment in a moment. I'll remind our listeners, we had a guy named Gabriel Green, Amalgamated Flying Saucer Clubs of America, pro-contactee group in the 50s and 60s. He ran for president a few times. I think he might have gotten one vote. What's your opinion about this government disinformation factor, Greg Bishop?
I think he got something like 44,000. He got a lot of votes, man, in the election where he ran against Kennedy in 1960. Gabe Green did. But that almost
made the difference. You know, think if we didn't have those votes and the dead voters from Chicago, maybe Richard Nixon would have been elected. Ever think of
that? Yeah, exactly. He swayed the vote. With regards to the UFO and government angle or intelligence agency angle, yeah, Paul is right. I'm interested in it because I'm interested in that area. I'm interested in espionage. I'm interested in, you know, spies and tradecraft and all that. It's just an interest of mine, just like I'm interested in, you know, cryptography and my paragliding and things like that. But it just happens to be that there's a definite link between intelligence agencies, specifically the Air Force and their intelligence agency, and the UFO subject, partly because it can be used as a good smokescreen for other things and to keep people away from anything serious by having them make fun of it, because most people, when they hear UFO, are going to start laughing and turn the other way. And people that don't laugh and turn the other way are either, one, UFO fanatics, or two, they're people from foreign governments or people you don't want around sniffing around or facilities asking about UFOs. So it's a good tool. So yeah, I think it's still used. And like Chris said, and I've been saying this for years and years, and so has Chris, I don't think the government really knows what they're dealing with regards to the core UFO subject, what really is going on, some sort of extra human intelligence. They don't know what to do about it. They don't know what it is. But if they can use it to their ends, they'll use it.
And, yeah,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, and I don't think they really care. In the same way that I don't think they really care about ghost investigation or whether ghosts are real or any of this stuff. I just don't think it's on their radar.
They don't really care unless it can be useful or it becomes a public relations headache and it's more of a useful thing to you. The subject is more useful to them for other issues than we might think normally. It's more useful to them than a public relations headache right now, and it has been for quite a while.
Sure, and people should always avoid, and I think ufology, quote-unquote, does this, should avoid doing what they do, which is looking at government as some sort of monolithic agency or entity or even the intelligence agencies. The one thing you have to understand about the 1950s in particular, the 40s and the 50s, were the tremendous rivalries between the intelligence agencies, most of which were new. It wasn't something the United States did prior to World War II. They learned everything they learned basically from the British, who had been doing it throughout the
And then the Germans.
And the Germans, too. But the United States basically had no real experience in intelligence. And yet suddenly after World War II, because you're now in a Cold War with the Soviets and you're representing the West, not the British anymore, they had to take over and create these intel agencies from scratch. You had military intelligence agencies within the various service branches fighting amongst themselves, then the FBI, then the CIA, then the NSA, then all the other lettered agencies, that some of which we might not even know about today.
I'll tell you what, we'll do more fighting if we don't break right now. We have Paul Kimball, Greg Bishop on our fifth anniversary episode. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Yeah.
You expect professional service from your doctor, your accountant, and even the girl who takes your morning coffee order. Why not from your domain registrar, too? Namecheap.com provides stellar service with no sneaky upselling. We offer more features and security options for your website than there are ways to order a latte. And new domains come with WhoisGuard to protect your personal info. At Namecheap.com, you can get your domain for as low as $2.99. Now is a great time to get to know Namecheap.com.
For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest in all aspects of the paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
This message starts with a great offer from Big Berkey Water Filters, because we don't want you drinking dangerous water 1 minute longer. Right now, purchase any filter system from BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com to get your choice of two Berkey Sport Bottles, a KDF shower filter, a set of fluoride filters, or our new Sight Glass spigot absolutely free. Why do this? Because over 60% of municipal water is fluoridated, and at less than 2 cents per gallon, Berkey Water Filters purify both treated and untreated water, removing dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and other contaminants. Big Berkey water filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, so they're perfect for rainwater collection systems and emergency preparedness. Remember, Big Berkey includes free shipping on every order over $50. And GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call today 1-877-99-BERKEY.
The five main steps to great health are detoxification, an alkaline pH, elimination of infections, optimal hormone levels, and renutrification. When all these factors are brought into play, then your body is supported to create radiant health. Of all the nutrients needed by the body, protein plays a dominant role. The type, quality, and digestibility of that protein plays a key role in how good you feel on a day-to-day basis. Of all the proteins that nature offers, one is the most digestible and offers the most benefits for the most people. It is unheated whey protein powder from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is the first ever unheated whey protein powder from grass-fed cows. It is easily digested and comes in three delicious flavors. Whether you want better energy, better blood sugar, more endurance, or clearer thinking, One World Whey is a must for you to try. Call 888-988-3325 or visit OneWorldWHEY.com. That's OneWorldWHEY.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
We have Chris O'Brien doing his best to say the Paracast in the most frightening way possible. Paul Kimball joins us, Greg Bishop, the fifth anniversary episode of the Paracast. 5 years of this, we're still here. They said it could never be done, and we don't know what we're doing. But let's look at one silly theory I came up with on the Paracast a long time ago, talking to Kathleen Martin and, of course, Stanton Friedman about Barney and Betty Hill. And I tell you, I did meet Betty Hill a couple of times at UFO-related conventions, seemed to be a pretty nice woman. I call her kind of a grandmotherly type, and I always felt she was sincere. But I wondered here, revisiting Barney and Betty Hill, who live near a military base, and I guess before going into the Postal Service, Barney Hill was in the military. They have friends in the military, and we know the government has engaged in LSD experiments, mind control experiments over the years. Any possibility here that the Barney and Betty Hill case, in and of itself, forgetting all the other abduction cases, just that one, may have been some kind of silly, shall we say, mind control experiment? Paul Kimball.
No, for a couple of reasons. One, I think we would know about it by now. I mean, we know about MKUltra. We know about most of the dirty tricks that were going on in the 50s and 60s. If it was something like that, the Betty and Barney Hill story would be pretty low on the list of crazy antics that the U.S. government was up to in terms of experimenting on their own citizens. So I don't see any reason why they would continue to that information would not have been made public. Also, the hallmarks of the case, whatever you think about the so-called abduction enigma, I don't think that what they described as happening, if you accept what you would have to do with that theory, Gene, is you'd have to accept what they describe as being accurate and then say, well, the government pulled it off. And I just don't think that the government at the time would have had the resources to pull off what the Hills described. And I find the Hill case is interesting because I go back to my old friend, the late Carl Flock, whose idea was that aliens did visit Earth in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, basically showed up, checked us out, oh, nuclear weapons, all the things Stan talks about, see what they're up to, said, great, we'll be back, you know, in 50, 60, 100 years when you've progressed to the next level. And then they went away. And he always said that the Hill case was the one abduction case that he actually thought was a legitimate interaction between humans and extraterrestrials. I'm not saying that makes it so, but when a guy like Carl Flock, who says that all other abduction cases could be explained somehow, and then, by the way, the aliens were here but have left, said he points to that one case and he says that one he actually thought was interaction with aliens. I thought that's interesting. And, you know, when a guy like Carl, who I took seriously, says something like that, it makes me take the case maybe a little more seriously than I would otherwise be inclined to.
Greg Bishop, our favorite cheerleader, what do you think?
As far as being a military operation, I agree with Paul, maybe not for the same reasons. The first reason being, what did you say, Paul, that before you said I don't think they could have pulled it off?
I think I said something along the lines of, given what we know already about what they were doing, it would have been one of the lesser sort of infringements on people's rights, and we would know about it by now.
Oh, that's what I disagreed with. I don't think we know about all the dirty tricks because I think the incredibly widespread implementation of them and through various levels of classification by that, you know, we wouldn't hear about them. A lot of those records were burned, actually, or destroyed in the 70s or 80s, I think, before the Church Committee could get to them.
Sure, but I would say that because the Hill case is such a public case, so well known even outside ufology, I mean mainstream, it's been a feature film, there have been books, media reports, I'm sure that I have no doubt that if the government had pulled that off, some deep throat like character would have come forward either anonymously or publicly by now and would have said, you know, because sure, there's stuff that's still hidden, but that case being so public, you would have had to have a lot of people involved. I'm sure somebody would have come forward and said something.
Yeah. Then you have the problem of somebody saying, well, how many more of these abductions are a result of that, which is why I don't that's the one thing I disagree with. I mean, if it was successful, I don't think they would have told anybody about it because it's successful. You know, keep using it. As far as the Hill case, I've said certain things about it. I've written about it and said that there are a lot of cultural antecedents to abduction, meaning in the pop culture, and about what aliens look like running around at that time. Not meaning that the Hills did not have an experience. I think they had some sort of genuine experience with something that they could not explain, whether that's something psychological or aliens from other planets or something in between, I do not know. But I think that's a very important watershed case, and for better or worse, I think was the blueprint for anything like it in the future, which I think is unfortunate because abduction research now just tends toward the blueprint or the template of the Barney and Betty Hill case, and I suppose a few after that. But that, you know, it was such a 300-pound gorilla sitting right in the middle of abduction research that you can't really ignore it. And I think people don't. And the fact that they don't ignore it is to their peril. I mean, there's things with the abduction research community we can talk about later.
And I think we will. Chris, yeah. What do you think?
Well, I agree with both Paul and Greg, and I think Greg brings up a very, I think, important salient point, and that is that prior to that case, you didn't really have this. This is really the first linchpin sort of, as you said, a watershed case. There's details in there that you don't find in any other cases, to my knowledge, prior to this. So I think the very fact that it was the first lends credence to the reality of the experience. Now, what that reality was, who the players were, I don't get a sense that it was a government military thing, but there were psychological elements that were introduced into that case that I think are very, very important, some of the details that you find. I've also heard at one point the tape of Barney's regression, and if that guy's acting, he could have gotten an Academy Award for that. They definitely had some very high strange experience occur to them, but I think that they were fed tricksterish type disinformation. I think the star map is a good example of that. The uniforms, the kind of German looking uniform as it was described, for instance, there are some very interesting elements to the case that do, I think, as Greg and Paul both point out, make it a very pivotal, important case.
And there is that aspect there still. I don't know that I can dismiss the possibility that there may have been some government involvement, maybe some elements there. We know that the various military forces, intelligence forces, didn't always talk to each other. Certainly that was one of the complaints made during 9/11, that if everybody kind of put their heads together, they would have understood what this threat was. And I'm not going to get into the conspiracy theories that maybe our government allowed it to happen or was somehow otherwise involved. I think that's for another subject. Maybe when we have Ken Thomas on again and we talk about the conspiracy theories, we could look at that. But we look at things like the military, the intelligence agencies not talking to one another, and someone pulls off this crazy quilt UFO abduction, and maybe it's repeated, maybe it's not, maybe they don't want to admit it. This is our fifth anniversary episode of the Paracast. Our guests are Paul Kimball, former co-host, one of our guest co-hosts, Greg Bishop, and of course our regular co-host, Chris O'Brien. And by the way, yes, we would have liked to have had Nick Redfern, but he's traveling and wasn't able to attend. We'll have him back in the future. We've got a lot more to come on this week's fifth anniversary episode. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@webtv.net. That's MrUFO@webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at goberkey.com. That's goberkey.com today.
There's mounting evidence suggesting that there are people, governments, corporations, and whole professions intent on short-circuiting humanity's well-being. GMO, food legislation protecting big agriculture, the attempted elimination of vitamins and alternative medicines. It seems their hand has been tipped. They want to dictate your health, wealth, and your longevity. Whatever the outcome, we have a solution. Wild edible food. Why worry about food when all has been provided? We imagine that we were ejected from the garden and never invited back, but the garden's still here. There is an endless wild abundance which grows all over our green earth, just waiting for you to wake up and see it. Let author Linda Runyon teach you how to see, know, get, prepare, store, and eat wild edible food. Save money, add nutrition, and ignore the noise when you go shopping in nature's supermarket. Go to ofthefield.com and get started today. Or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. That's ofthefield.com or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. And begin to see a different world.
Hi, I'm Don Wiskin, and have you ever wondered what the garlic cayenne drops could do for you? February is Heart Month, and we want you to find out just what can happen when you take the right combination of herbs designed to maintain our cardiovascular health. Purchase a 4-month supply of Extendivite drops or capsules, plus get a bonus month supply of capsules for only $125 plus shipping. That's 5 months worth of Extendivite for $25 per month. This is a Heart Month special to help get you started on your path to better health and ends February 28th. So don't be left out. Find out what Extendivite can do for you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. Extend your life with
Extendivite. America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
We return, two more segments left. This is the Paracast. I'm Gene Steinberg. Our co-host is Chris O'Brien. We're doing the fifth anniversary show with Greg Bishop and with Paul Kimball. And since we raise the ugly specter or otherwise of abductions, let's kind of go to this route. Maybe we're looking at Alice in Wonderland through the looking glass. Let's see what happens here. Now, unless you want to bring it up, I don't want to get into too much of the current conflict involving Emma Woods or whatever her name is, and David Jacobs and Carol Rainey and, of course, Bud Hopkins, partly because I think it's all a distraction. I want to know what's happening with abductions, and I'd like to get all of your reactions. Other than that stuff, Paul Kimball, what can you say about abductions in general, beyond Barney and Betty Hill? Is it still happening? Are these cases more than just some kind of mental aberration? What?
Read The Abduction Enigma by Kevin Randall, Russ Estes, and Dr. William Cohn. And brevity is the source of wit. That would be about all I have to say on the abduction enigma. It's not something that I find terribly interesting, frankly. And, you know, the current brouhaha, I think, has largely played itself out, and I talked about that on Greg's show a week ago. So, yeah, read The Abduction Enigma. It's for me, it pretty much covers everything that you need to know. The one area I would disagree with my good friend Kevin Randall on is I still think that the Betty and Barney Hill cases we were discussing is of interest, even though I'm not sure what it represented.
Now, in short, for those who haven't read the book, can you give us maybe the Reader's Digest or quick, snappy, pithy comment version of what it concludes?
Basically that the abduction phenomenon can be explained using prosaic means that, and not just one explanation. I think that's the mistake that people have consistently made. You would look at somebody like Susan Clancy's work, and she explains an aspect of it or some aspects of it, and say, oh, well, she's trying to explain everything, but what about these cases over here? And it's a very broad sort of phenomenon. And I think Kevin and his co-writers were more or less right that, as we understand it, the modern alien abduction phenomenon is wholly explainable. Is there still some sort of thing there that might be of interest that might actually have a paranormal aspect to it? Maybe. And I underline maybe 20 times. Some few cases divorced, if you can pull them away from the mess that is alien abduction so-called research that has arisen over the last 20 to 30 years courtesy of Jacobs and Hopkins and everybody else. But I think it's become so difficult to the point of being impossible to divorce the two, that whatever the abduction enigma or phenomena is, if there was a paranormal component to it, I think is lost. I think the ability to try and get at what that is gone for now. And it will take a different generation, perhaps, of researchers to tackle it in a different way, maybe, to see if there is something there, that's something that predates the alien meme that has been around for the last 30 years. And then, you know, that it seems like a sort of self-contradictory answer, but there you go. That's the paranormal. Even within an answer, you start at point A, 5 minutes later you're at point B, and maybe you're saying something that contradicted point A. But it's the thought process. You have to be thinking. So, yeah, I think the vast majority of them can be explained. I think Kevin et al. Have done that and did it quite some time ago and pointed out the problems of hypnosis and everything else. But, you know, is there still a core enigma there? Maybe. But it's not going to be anybody around right now that triggers out what that is.
Before Greg and Chris comment, let me ask you one quick question, Paul Kimball. And that is, the people who have been so troubled, so traumatized by abductions, we assume then that they should be treated by proper mental health professionals to see what the process is and what's going on?
Yes, absolutely. The problem is that they will get answers that they don't like. And you see that sometimes within UFO research. They'll say, oh, these people are telling them that, you know, I paraphrase, they're just crazy. Well, maybe some of them are crazy, as that term is commonly understood. And not using that term, maybe a lot of them really do have some psychological problems that are better addressed by trained professionals who might not give you the answers you want, that you're being abducted by aliens or whatever. And Kevin and those guys address that in their book, why people gravitate towards this alien abduction answer and what that says about them and what that says about the researchers, too. It's a fascinating book. I interviewed Kevin for a film years ago, and he gave me a copy at the end of the interview. And I would put that book on my list of five books that are must-read books dealing with the UFO phenomenon. Greg's Project Beta being another one.
Okay, Greg, why don't you drop in? You've been referred to, you've been mentioned. What's your reaction?
About the abduction thing and what it might be and the state of it and all that?
Let's go for all of that.
Well, as far as Paul is concerned, everything that he said, pretty much the same thing I wanted to say. However, he seems to place less faith in the quote-unquote reality of an abduction than I do. I think there is something going on. I think there has been something going on. It involves something that's non-human, in a few cases, interacting with us, and it's been going on for thousands of years. Now, the character that takes, of course, and most people listening will agree with this, is based on the culture of the time and the individual that experiences it. The problem now, I think, since Betty and Barney Hill up to now, has been that there is a reigning idea, consciously and subconsciously, and maybe even collectively unconsciously, about what we are seeing and what it is, quote unquote. And I think probably the only way to fix that or change it or have it to move forward, and I've been asked this before, is to drop abduction research probably for 5 years or so.
It's too highly contaminated, is what you're saying.
Yes, it's highly contaminated. It started again with new people and absolutely refused to use hypnotic regression. And see what happens. I would wager that the abduction enigma, whatever is happening to people, would, one, change, and two, become a lot more diverse than it is right now. And there'd be a lot of people would drop off the map saying, oh, I guess it's not aliens anymore, too. As I've said before, I think when there is this interaction between us and whatever this non-human thing is, we at our peril, discount our contribution to that interaction, meaning our perception is hampered by our culture, by our subconscious, by and probably 100 other factors that we're not aware of right now. But we contribute to that interaction with our perception to whatever that on top of whatever that experience is. And I believe in a certain few cases, maybe more than a few, there is an interaction with something that is outside the consciousness of the abductee or experiencer or whatever you want to call them.
Chris.
I couldn't agree more, Greg. I don't think you can throw the proverbial baby out with the bathwater. At the core, I do sense that there are true cases that tie in with ancient interpretations, medieval interpretations, whether it's incubus or succubi, or I think some of the Middle Eastern countries have some pretty interesting traditions relating to this. It goes back centuries. But I think with the introduction of the alien meme into this, I think it's totally muddied the waters. I think we do have needy people who are crying out for help, and that cannot be stated and understated. I do feel that there are people that need help, whether it's trying to figure out which abduction researcher is most in line with whatever you're dealing with, and then going to that person to get validation is an answer. I don't believe it is. And, you know, I do really think that it's a whirlpool that you get caught into, I think. And people need to be helped. And I think the mental health profession should step up to the plate and provide recourse for people. You know, Paul's observation that oftentimes people aren't too pleased to hear something that they don't want to hear. We have to somehow get around that. I think there are people that need help, and I don't see abduction research in its present form as supplying the necessary help that these people are crying out for.
This is the fifth anniversary edition of the PowerCast. We have Paul Kimball. We have Greg Bishop. Our co-host is Chris O'Brien. We're back for one more. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the PowerCast.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Phillips, listening to the Paracast, and it's as good as it gets, believe me.
Hey, if you have a question or a comment to make about the Paracast, write us. News@theparacast.com. Once again, that's news@theparacast.com. Yes, neighbors, we read every message we get. Okay, it's come to this, the 5th anniversary episode of the Paracast. Paul Kimball, Greg Bishop, the co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. We started in the last portion to cover abductions, and I think we all kind of agree that maybe it's getting too much emphasis and we have to move on. It may be that abductions are nothing more than some kind of mental process we need to understand better. Maybe it's sleep paralysis. I don't know. I think, though, in my own opinion, if a person thinks they've been abducted, they should go to a mental health professional, see what's going on, see if they can figure out what's happening, what has happened, what is happening. David Halpern, who was on the Paracast a couple of weeks ago, thought that maybe repressed memories of sexual abuse may have been partly responsible for at least some of the cases. I don't know. I would, however, just to mention briefly before we move on with regard to a certain case that's getting a lot of publicity, when your therapist says, I can't help you, let's contact a civilian, non-therapist UFO investigator to figure out what your abduction is, go find another therapist. That's what I have to say. Let's move on. One of the goals, I guess, with the paranormal research with UFOs is some kind of resolution. We want answers. Paul Kimball, can we ever find answers?
No. And yes. It depends on what kind of answers you're looking for. Are you looking for answers like, you know, what are UFOs or what are ghosts or whatever, you know, whatever? No. Some broad unified field theory, some particular answer. You can explain certain cases. That's what you take the UFO phenomenon. You should be trying to say, okay, we can, that was this. It's now an IFO. That was this. I think the answers that everybody should be seeking, and I've said this more and more frequently over the last year or two, are more personal answers that, you know, treat it as a mystery, treat it as something that's fun, frankly, and that might teach you something about yourself and the world around you. And if you follow that path, you might actually wind up learning more than if you're, you know, you're part of some concerted effort to discover the secret of the cosmic Watergate or whatever. And also, don't take it so, you know, like Bill Shatner on Saturday Night Live. Don't take it so seriously. Get out of your basement, your mother's basement or whatever. Live your lives. Realize that there's a lot of fun things going on in the world. UFOs are just part of it. It's not the be-all and end-all of existence. Until the aliens come down and plant their flag on our planet, who knows? So let's treat it as a mystery, and let's try and, you know, get that gee whiz, this is cool factor back into it again. And I think that would be the answer that I think we should all be looking for is the answer is let's make it fun and realize the journey is as important as getting to the destination.
Greg?
I think that there will be an answer, so-called, but it's just going to be a step. Because whatever it is, and this is sort of in deference to Chris and his trickster theory, whatever it is, quote-unquote, if you're talking about UFOs specifically, and maybe something extra human that we have contact with, which are may in some ways be completely separate from the UFO question. Whatever that is, as soon as we figure out what we think it is, it's not going to be the whole of the mystery, and it's going to continue because I think that mystery is self-built, self-designed or whatever by whatever it is. Maybe it's even us to lead us on to something else and not ever have the exact answer and take us on more of a journey, as Paul was saying, of self-discovery. And the other part of that is I think if there is some breakthrough, and like I said before at the beginning of the show, there is some breakthrough. It's not going to come from Stan Friedman or Kevin Randall or Richard Dolan or Bud Hopkins or any of these people. The breakthrough is going to come from somebody completely outside the UFO community who decides that this is a serious subject worth looking at and worth spending some time on and worth looking at the data maybe in a different way. That if there is going to be any kind of an answer or a step, I think it's going to be more like a step. It's going to come from outside the UFO community. And I think the UFO community should embrace that instead of saying if a ufologist, whatever that is, discovered it, that's the only way that makes it important. Because nobody's stepping on your turf. What they're trying to do, if they do that, is to make it to give us more answers, more accessibility to the subject, to the mystery, and to have more people understand it. Because getting information out there to the most people in the most comprehensive and comprehending, understandable way is probably the most important thing that can be done about any of these mysteries, and particularly the UFO one.
Let me just add really quickly, because I know you're running out of time, but building on what Greg said, if it was discovered tomorrow that some UFOs were, like if they landed on the White House lawn, aliens from outer space, I guarantee you that no current UFO researcher would ever be heard of again. Other than as a citizen of the United States or Canada or this world that would have an equal say with all the other citizens about what we should do about it. But if that answer ever does arrive, every UFO researcher currently working now is irrelevant because it will be smarter people in other areas that will be tasked to deal with that issue from there on in.
Chris O'Brien, what's your comment about what Greg and Paul said so far?
Well, I agree. I think that a really important element to this, it's finding out about your place in the universe and in your process. I think that it's very personal and very individual. But at the same time, one thing that Greg just hinted at is I think there's a collective agenda as well. And my friend David Perkins has come up with an idea called the evolutionary imperative, that perhaps we are collectively manifesting phenomena that are designed by us in the collective to draw us off planet. Before our sun goes supernova, we get hit by an asteroid or somehow destroy our world. We need to get humanity out into the stars and start populating the cosmos, like similar to a breath of wind that blows little dandelion seeds across your lawn. So I think this is another potential answer, but will we ever know what the true answer is? I tend to agree with Paul. I don't think so. I think there's a self-nullification aspect to this that will, as Greg pointed out, will always keep us guessing. As soon as you discover a pattern, you'll get the data to support it. You think you've solved something. You think you've made a step forward, and boom. I guarantee you the data will give you 180-degree opposite patterns to nullify what you think you've discovered. So there is a built-in self-nullification aspect to this whole thing.
Or the three men in black will come to your door and say, hey, you found out the secret Albert K. Bender. You have to shut up about it. But maybe that didn't happen at all. Paul Kimball, we have a couple of minutes left. Take a few moments to tell about the stuff that you're working on once again and where they can find more of the things you do.
Sure. You can go to my company's new website, www.redstarfilmtv.com. And actually, a sequel to Best Evidence, not through the traditional network method, but this time using things like Indiegogo, Kickstarter, and trying to connect with that younger generation and raise money that way to do a film. I always wanted to do a sequel that was going to be called The UFO Phenomenon Beyond Best Evidence. So you have all your cases, you can show that there's an objective reality, something is happening. You know, okay, let's ask the big questions. What does it all mean? What are, you know, not the answers, but from that point on, what are the questions that we should be asking? And so, yeah, that's the film, the one paranormal, shall we say, related film that I hope to get off the ground over the next few months and start making.
Greg Bishop.
Well, I've got time now to do different things. So what I'm going to be doing is resurrecting the Radio Misterioso site so that people can once again download the shows, including the very loud and contentious, not with each other, show that Paul and I did last week, and probably contribute a little bit more to UFO Mystic, and some projects here, writing projects that I'm working on that continue some stuff I was doing with Mac Tony's, actually. So we'll see what happens in the next few months and year or so with that.
Chris O'Brien, tell us about the stuff you're involved with.
Well, I have my SLV camera project, which is desperately hoping for warmer weather. 30 below is not very kind to electronics. And, of course, the forum, paracast.com. I'm a moderator on the Paracast forums, and I do have a website, OurStrangePlanet.com.
This has been just a fascinating 5 years, an incredible adventure of discovery, and we hope for 5 more years of the Paracast, where we'll be hearing from all these guys and a lot more. Paul Kimball, Greg Bishop, Chris O'Brien, our co-host, thanks for joining us this week on the Paracast.
Cool. Good talking with you guys. Good job, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks here, too. I've always want people to hear something different I have to say instead of complaining about the last thing I said, and this one went very well, thanks.
The Paracast is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it led back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.